You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Welcome everyone. So good to be with you this morning as we come around the Word of God. If you don't know who I am, my name is Rachel and I'm a part of this church and I love meeting with everyone here this morning. It's so good to be with you. This morning I'm going to be talking about being strengthened by God and the ability to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. You know, if we look at someone who is physically strong, we can imagine what they've gone through to get that way. The food that they've had to eat, the process, the weights. I can imagine all the green stuff that they have to eat along with the protein, all to get themselves physically strong. And if we look at Popeye, he used to just open a can of spinach, eat that spinach, his muscles would pop and he'd be able to do what he needed to do. If we hear that we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord, do we understand what that means and how we go about doing it? Is it as easy as eating a can of spinach? I wish it was. With that in mind, let's look at a time in David's life when he found himself in a very stressful situation and the choices he made to strengthen himself in the Lord. Just to give you a bit of background information before this event took place in his life, David and his men had fled to the land of the Philistines because King Saul had been trying to kill him. Not only is he now fleeing for his life, he's now finding himself living in the enemy's territory. When King Saul heard this, he decided not to pursue him anymore. Now, David and his men are now living in the land of Ziklag, which the Philistine Achish gave him. Then there came a time when the Philistines decided to mobilize their army and go against Israel. And Achish, the Philistine, asks David and his men to come and fight with them. But the Philistine princess said, "No, no way. We don't want David fighting with us. What happens if he turns against us and starts fighting against us?" So David had to go back to Ziklag. You know, it took him and his men 3 days to get back to Ziklag. And during this time, the Amalekites, who David had previously raided, decided, you know what, we're going to use this opportunity to get back at David. So they then destroyed Ziklag. And this is the moment that we come to in the story that we find in 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 to 8. And it says here, it says this, "Now it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way." So they arrive at Ziklag, not expecting this at all, not expecting to see fire everywhere, places burnt down to the ground. They weren't expecting to see all their possessions gone. They weren't expecting to see what had happened to their women and children. And I could imagine them running around with that mixture of hope and dread in their hearts and praying, "Lord God, let our women and children still be here." And then the realization that they have been taken and they're no longer there. The men in their distress begin to cry out to God. And then they just get to the point that they can't cry anymore. And just when you think it's bad, it now becomes worse for David. And in verse 6 it says this, "Then David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." But here it comes. "But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God." This powerful choice set the course for what was about to happen. His men were distressed. His men were heartbroken. His men were grieved. And they turned all that fear into anger and the need to blame someone because of what they were going through. And they turned that and directed it towards David. And I can imagine the conversations that they would have been happening. How did we trust this guy? How did we follow him all the way to Aphek? And now look what has happened to us. He needs to pay for this. I can't understand how we've let this get out of control. And you can just imagine those conversations because of the hurt and the pain that they were feeling and needing to blame someone, and David copped it. Have you ever felt like the enemy has taken captive something of yours that is of value and is precious to you? Maybe your confidence, maybe your peace, maybe your joy, maybe your health, maybe at this time your job and your finances, maybe a relationship or a job, maybe your identity. Is there something of value that you feel the enemy has tried to tap captive from you? When you're going through this time of uncertainty, maybe it's with yourself or your family or with your job, it's easy to think, whoa, Lord God, what can I do? Your mind goes into overdrive. You start thinking and dwelling on it, and anxiousness thoughts begin to come into your mind. Because if the enemy has tried to take captive of something that's in your life, you feel that you've been left with hopelessness and uncertainty, confusion and disappointment. Where do we go from here? What do we do? What is our next step? What is our response going to be? Like David, let's strengthen ourselves in the Lord our God. So how did David strengthen himself in the Lord? This was a defining moment for David, who was feeling just as upset as the other men. Let's not forget that he had also had his wives and family taken. He was just as distressed. He was just as grief-stricken. He was just as upset. And he could have got angry. He could have decided, you know, I'm just going to blame someone else as well. I might as well blame the men or God. He could have decided to doubt who God is and in his life. But instead of blaming God and his men, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And what was the first thing he did? He turned aside. He just turned aside from the natural. He turned aside from the men that were angry at him. He turned aside from the burning rubble. He turned aside from his own emotional state. He turned aside and he shut the door, so to speak, to block out the voices of the men, to block out the distractions and to block out the thoughts. He turned aside. What does that mean? Recognizing that I can only do so much in this situation that I found myself in. Then I turned aside to you, Lord God, to do what only you can do. I can try and process the emotions. I can try to process the grief that I'm feeling and what is happening to me, the shock, and I can try to make sense of it. And as we know, processing includes a lot of self-reflection and maybes. Where did I go wrong? Maybe I should have tried it this way. Maybe I should have listened to this person. Maybe if I'd started this sooner, should I have done this instead? David might have been thinking, maybe we shouldn't have gone to Aphek at all. Maybe I should have left some men behind in Ziklag. All the questions that start to go over your mind, the maybes, the what ifs. What could I have done? What should I have done? And I'm trying to process all this in the midst of my grief, in the midst of my distress, in the midst of this situation that I'm finding myself in. Our mind can race with the what ifs. So that is why I need to turn aside to the Lord. I can't work out the solution by myself. I can't look to the natural for the answers. But I can turn to my God who is supernatural. My God who is bigger than the situation or the problem. My God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. My God who heals. My God who restores. My God who is the God of breakthroughs. My God that can make walls fall down, blind eyes to see, ears to hear. My God who is all powerful, who is all supernatural. Lord God, I don't know what to do, but I'm pointing to you because I know that you can do all that you can do to help me in this situation. We need to fix our mind on the God who can. And this is a continual process to turn aside. It's not a one-time fix. It's a continual process that we need to put into our hearts and our lives to turn aside. God, I can't do it, but I know you can, and I'm fixing my heart and my gaze on you. Why? Because the emotions will still be there. The situation will still be there. The distress may still be there. So we need to keep turning aside. I'm turning aside to you, Lord God, the author and the perfecter of my faith, not looking to the natural, but looking to my supernatural God, who I know gives me answers, who I know directs my path, who I know gives me rivers in my desert, who I know is just all majestic, all powerful, and I know is working for my good. He will never abandon you. He will never abandon you. He loves you too much to leave you in your distress, to leave you in your hopeless situation. He loves you too much, and he will take you by your hand and lead you and guide you down the path of restoration and breakthrough. That is the God that we serve. You know, earlier on this year, I went to the doctor who told me something that I wasn't expecting to hear. So after I left and I'd let that sunk in and I had a bit of a cry, for those that know me know that I do a lot of crying, I then had to make a choice. I had to turn aside and say, God, you are my God, and that will never, ever change. You know I love you and I'll always thank you for your goodness in my life. This wasn't what I was expecting to hear, but I know that you can do anything. So I keep trusting you in the journey. I keep trusting you and holding on to you in the journey, and I will continue to do this. You know, and there'll be days where I will need to continue to turn aside and say, God, I trust you. I thank you for your goodness. I look to you because you are my God. We live in a natural world, but must learn to turn aside to our supernatural and all-powerful God, who can do anything. And he will do anything to help you. In turning aside, there may be things God will ask you to do, so be prepared for that. Things that maybe you wouldn't be expecting. Things that you think, oh, that's a little bit unusual. But as you take that step of obedience, you will see God working things out for your good, for your situation and in your life. I was talking to someone years ago that I had known for a very long time, and I was just about to share with them something that was personal to me. And just as I was about to, I felt the Holy Spirit encouraging me not to. You know, I had a decision at that time. Do I listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit or go, well, I know this person. I've known them for a really long time. You know, I've trusted them before. I'm just going to share with them something. But I chose to listen. And did I understand? No. But you know what? I didn't need to. I just needed to be obedient for my own protection. Now, I may never understand what that meant, but I still chose to be obedient because I knew the Holy Spirit was wanting me to do something at that time, and I chose to listen to him. There may be things that he asks you to do as you turn aside to him for him to strengthen you, things that you won't expect. But let me encourage you, be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because it is often for your protection, because he sees the bigger picture. We can sometimes only see the situation that we're in. But he, in his wisdom, sees the bigger picture because he is all powerful and supernatural. And he wants that protection to be with you. So let me encourage you to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Turning aside takes commitment, and it is a choice. There are times when it is easy and times when it is not. And if I'm being really honest, sometimes it's just really, really hard. Especially, now this is me personally, especially when I want to stay angry or mad about something. I know you won't believe that about me, but it's true. And it's like when I'm in those moments, I suddenly feel like a gentle nudge. Turn aside, Rachel. I love you. I have the best for you. But Lord God, I want to stay angry. I have been wronged and I want to hang on to my anger for a little bit longer and rehearse the situation. Because if you're a justice person, sometimes you just want to stay angry. and go over it and again. But then I just get that little, another little gentle nudge. Come on, Rachel, come aside. And then I feel like a little child again where it's kind of, oh, okay, I'll turn aside because I know that you have the best plan for my life. I know that you have the best outcome for my situation. So I take those opportunities to listen to that nudge, to feel that nudge and turn aside to hear the voice of Almighty God speaking into my situation. During these times, there is always opportunities to grow and heal and learn. And we don't want to miss those divine moments and encounters with our loving Heavenly Father. So that's why it's important to turn aside, because it allows for those moments. We make room for God when we turn aside to Him. Not to the grief, not to the men, not to the situation, but to God. During this time of strengthening, David learned to take captive, and we can do the same. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, it says this: "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Did you hear that? We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive. We decide that the thoughts and the words will not imprison our souls, our mind, our will and emotions, because we take captive first. We take captive the thoughts that are not according to God's truth for our lives and for our loved ones. How? We impose God's thoughts onto the lies and the thoughts that are not encouraging or according to His word. And we keep saying them. We pull them down. We lock them up. We don't give them a chance to talk back to us. We don't feed them anymore by entertaining them. We pull them down and we supersede them with the truth of God's word. And we keep doing it until we ourselves feel better and nullify the lies and the thoughts from the enemy. Like with wrestling, you pin your opponent down until they can't get back up. Likewise, we pin down those thoughts, those lies that are from the enemy, and we replace them with God's truth and what He says about us. His truth, His word, His joy, His peace, and we nullify the enemy's voice. We nullify what the enemy is trying to say to us by taking captive those things and pinning them down. The enemy may be trying to capture your confidence and say, "You can't do it. You're no good, and I need to pin those thoughts down with the truth of God's words. I know I can do it. Greater is He that lives in me than he that is in the world. And resurrection power lives in me." Resurrection power lives in you this morning if you love and know Jesus. And we can pin those thoughts down. We can take captive those lies so that they no longer have sway or way in our emotions and our mind. This morning, which voice will you fight to hear? Our voice, other people's, the enemy, or God's? Let me encourage you to fight to listen and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, who wants to encourage you, guide you, and lead you through your stressful situation. We need to listen to God's voice and capture and pin down the lies. Why did David turn aside? Because he needed instructions. He needed to hear from God what he needed to do. He needed direction. He wasn't sure what to do. He said, "God, do I go and pursue them? What do I do in this situation?" He needed to quiet his mind. He needed to quiet his emotions, get that time with God alone. And I could imagine him sharing his heart with God and then turning to praise and worship his King. Then asking God, "What shall I do?" And in 1 Samuel 30, verse 8, it says this: "So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?' And he answered him, 'Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all.'" You know, sometimes the instructions don't come straight away. Sometimes it doesn't come how we expect. And sometimes it's actually easy to stop at the instruction or the prophetic word, because when we hear it, we feel better and can think, you know what, all is okay now. The burden has lifted from my shoulders and I feel relief. But you're only halfway there. Keep going. God has breakthrough and growth for you. If you feel like you haven't heard the answer, keep turning aside. Keep focusing your attention on God. He will speak to you. It may not be the first time. It may not be the second, but He will speak to you. There have been times where I've turned aside and said, God, I'm not sure what to do in this situation. I know that this is not a great situation, but I don't know what to do. And I've given it over to God. And then later on, a thought just comes into my mind. And it was the right thought at the right time so that I could speak it into that situation. Let me encourage you, God will speak to you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He is God and He loves you and wants to be with you. He will give you the instruction and follow through with the instruction. What did David do? After he got the instructions, David went out and recovered all like God said he would. The wives and the families of all the men were recovered. David learned how to navigate loss. He learned how to navigate disappointment, rejection, and major setbacks by strengthening himself in the Lord. And on an encouraging note, not long after this, David became king. I believe that as we learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord in our journeys, we will see much growth and continual fulfillment of God's plan for our lives. Strengthening ourselves in the Lord, looking to God for the answers and the direction we need to go during our times of feeling unsettled or major setbacks or that grief and loss. You know, recently my sister and I were in Adelaide and we were having breakfast with one of our really dear friends. And as we do, we're just talking about what's been happening in our lives when suddenly my friend just turned to me and just said, you know, you've really stood strong with the Lord. And, you know, despite the things that you've gone through, despite the long time it took for you to get your promises, you stood strong, you held on to God. And now look at you, look what's happened in your life. And hearing that, I realize that our testimonies are so powerful. As you and I strengthen ourselves in the Lord God, as you and I learn to turn aside and say, God, what do I need to do in this situation? When we learn to capture those thoughts, those lies from the enemy, and as we say, God, you show me what I need to do, and as He comes through and speaks to you, let me encourage you, your testimonies are going to be powerful to encourage the lives of people around you. Because that is the God that we serve. And has my road been easy? No. But has God always been there for me? Yes. His goodness, who He is, His presence and His protection. Let me encourage you, you too can strengthen yourself in the Lord God who loves and cares for you and will never leave you or forsake you. Is there something you are going through at the moment? Do you feel like the enemy has captured something that is of value to you? This morning, do you need to strengthen yourself in the Lord? Let me encourage you, turn aside, listen to God's instructions because He wants to speak to you and follow what He gives you to do. Let's just take this moment to pray. Lord God, I just pray for everyone listening this morning or at a later time. Lord God, if they're needing right now direction and strength from you, I just declare, Holy Spirit, that your power and your strength and your might and your efficiency will go into their hearts, will go into their lives, Lord God, and bring that stability and strength that they need. And like we've already heard this morning, Lord God, your peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord God, to put into their life, deposited in their life at this time. Lord God, if people are needing direction, Almighty God, let them turn aside and hear your still, small voice, bringing peace, direction, love and comfort into their hearts and into their lives at this time. This morning, I just want to take a moment for us to respond. If you're in your seats, wherever you may be, just if you feel comfortable to close your eyes and just right now allow the voice of the Holy Spirit to come and minister to you because He wants to.